Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. Call in 347-637-3942. 347-637-3942. This is the American Legion Show. Your host, Kevin White.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Those are my sentiments exactly. Who are they to tell us what we have to do? And that's exactly what I feel about what's going on these days. So where can we turn to? Different outlets and everything. Well, people tell the truth and it's not going to be Facebook. Trust me, it's going to be somewhere else. Where would that be? So many networks are going up and they're popular, they're self-sustaining. We got all kinds of things out there now. You don't have to rely on the fact checkers, just opinion. And it's only one way opinion. We can have, you know, things that promote evil, or you could say things that promote promiscuity, different lifestyles that not everybody agrees with. That's okay. It's all right. So we don't need those taken badges. I'm going to say that we have other alternatives, and I heard a great show this morning on RBN. RBN's a great network, by the way, if you ever get a chance to listen to it, and they talk about this very thing. There are so many platforms, so many ways to go, and guess what? They're gaining traction. It's like little shows like this, like my little show that I'm growing and nurturing. Things like this are growing. There's a lot of people that are going on these smaller programs because they know. We're going to talk about it. A lot of things are just plain vanilla. They don't say too much. It's not very deep. But I'll tell you what, RBN is super deep, and so is the Patriot Nation show. But James Bostic, Tuesdays and Thursdays, listen to his program, very deep thoughts. Everything he does is patriotic all the way. Mark Hoffman, man, he does a simulcast video and new technologies that he's acquired. I love watching him, and I usually engineer for him, or I'm the producer on the show on Thursday nights. That's a lot of fun. We always have to have somebody screen calls and things like that. So the secrets and whatever happens behind the scenes, you guys will never know. Sometimes we have glitches, we have faults, but we love doing what we do. And so where can you go? My next guest, Donovan Larkins, has a new program, a platform that he wants to tell you about. And we're going to talk about this tonight. And without any further ado, Pastor Donovan Larkins, welcome to the program again.
Hello, Kevin. How are you this evening? Can you hear me good?
I'm doing good, sir. Let me before you say anything, Donovan Larkins has a sustainability farm in Dayton, Ohio. And let me tell you, the stuff that he has out there is incredible. The quail eggs. Thank you for the quail eggs and the chicken sausage. This food is fantastic. You ever get a chance to go out there, the maple syrup. And we had this lunch. I don't know if you guys saw my lamb burger dinner. Well, that came from, I put on Facebook, Donovan and Larkin's Ranch. They have, I still have another pack of lamb for that. And it's amazing food and everything's done, you know, clean. As you say, and it's done on a big, giant homestead ranch. And that's another subject that Donovan likes to talk about and spread the word. So go ahead, Donovan. Take it away.
Well, I just want to thank you for you know, giving me the opportunity to share again tonight. I mean, I'm really excited about the new thrust that we're taking on with our media site. Years ago, our church, we actually developed a newspaper outlet, and it went worldwide, and it was amazing how many people wanted to just know the truth, you know. So now it's a little bit different, because instead of us having a hard copy newspaper, we can do this over the internet, and we can reach far more many people. But, you know, today, you know, we need, you know, new outlets and new media coverage, because, you know, we're so censored. Isn't that right?
That's right. You see how I segued into that? You didn't even know I was going to say that, right? So this is perfect. This is exactly what we need. So go ahead.
Well, I see people are criticizing Truth Social, and I'm glad that that's on. But ours is called, you know, Our Point of View, and we're giving our point of view. And what we did, this is really strategic. We created a media site, a vlog, and instead of us depending on Facebook or Twitter or any of them, we use those as sites to channel people to our website. So, I mean, I don't think Christian people or conservatives should abandon Facebook and Twitter and those other media sites. I think we should learn how to do a wraparound, utilize those as much as we possibly can, because if we as the light abandon the darkness, then the darkness is going to come blackness. So we should stay there. We should continue to shine the light, but then we should learn how to be strategic so that we can utilize those avenues and direct people to our sites. And that's what we're doing there with Our Point of View.
Fantastic advice. So we want to see what your point of view is. We can't wait for it to come out. Let me see. What's your address? What's your point of view? How do you get there?
They can simply log in to opvmag.com and, you know, sign up for the site. That's opvmag.com. And it's very real simple to get on there. You know, they're going to have to answer a few questions and let us know who they are. And then there's rules that we have set up, very firm rules, because we don't want anybody coming in there posting, you know, illicit, you know, content. We don't want them doing what they do on Facebook, literally, because Facebook's turned into a real, it's some benefit there, but it's turned into anything goes there except, you know, of course, Christian and conservative views. So, hey, it is where we're at in the world today, and we have to be wise as serpents and harmless doves and be strong enough and wise enough to overcome it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm going to tell everybody, Pastor Donovan does not play. The life he lives on the ranch, and I learned a lot about him the last time I visited the ranch, the people we've got to deal with, his neighbors and everything, or the people who come on his property, and the stuff you have to deal with the wild animals and everything, I have to hand it to you. You don't play. And I'm pretty sure that translates to your website.
Yeah, we don't have the opportunity. Anybody that understands wildlife, you know, you've got to manage it. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a barbarian, but, you know, people today, they will take advantage of who you are and what you have if you don't control it. And there's rules everywhere, you know. And so what we do, we establish our rules and our policies. And if people don't want to meet with those demands, then we just make sure that they're not allowed to come in. And we're willing to do that in a polite way, or if we have to do it, we have to do it in an unpolite way. But it's our land, it's our program, it's our, you know, operations, and, you know, we expect for people to follow our guidelines. Now, that's what Facebook is doing. They have guidelines, right? And, right. you know, they have established their stipulations. And so we do the same thing, only in that, you know, I don't want to be so harsh or put together so many rules that we can't, you know, be evangelistic and win people to the Lord. But this is what I say in our church and our outreaches. That if people are going, I'm not going the extra mile for people who are going the opposite direction. And you know, I posted something on Facebook one time. It hadn't been long ago, Kevin, and I was saying that God wants to answer our prayers. It's just that simple. The Bible says, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you." God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to meet our needs. And somebody came on and said, "You can't tell God what to do." And so these are,
wow.
believe it or not, really? people think because they say they're a Christian and they say they go to church, they say they think they know God, but you know, they don't necessarily, if they haven't been taught the laws of the Spirit and taught what God's word says, they've created a God idea in their own mind. So anyway, I told this person, I said, "I'm not telling God what to do. I'm standing on what God said he would do."
Exactly.
And they challenged me so many times, I just deleted them.
That's crazy. How can you get that twisted? I don't understand that. I guess people assume things. And, you know, but it doesn't matter, right? That's their opinion, and it counts, but not for you. You can't have the same opinion. You can't preach on Facebook too much.
Frankly, I don't, you know, I don't have too much problems, you know, with Facebook. I mean, you pretty much can tell when somebody, you know, enters into your dialogue and conversations and they are, you know, they're not really agreeing with what you're saying and they just want to find an argument. I just move them aside, you know, but I have learned that if we establish groups on Facebook and post our material through groups, then we're less apt, you know, to be, you know, punished for that, you know. I think it's the open platform. And I could be wrong. I mean, there's a lot of people experiencing a lot of things. But, you know, when they say don't do anything, I just move on. Look, it's their platform. Now I have a platform of my own. And I think that's what, you know, we ought to do. We ought to establish our own media outlets. If we start our own magazines, we can start our own, you know, like you have your, you know, your Blog Talk Radio. I mean, it's so easy to start these things and manage them that, you know, why does everybody keep complaining about it instead of just stepping
right.
up, making the investment and start our own? Now, if we work together, man, we got some powerful things that's in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm willing to work with you and any other conservatives or Christians, and if we work together, then we can build a phenomenal network. And then think about it. If we work together and build these big networks because we collaborate together, my God, you know, next election that comes by, we will have, you know, we will have something going on to contend. They will have something to contend with.
I totally agree. Because Facebook came out of nowhere, just like everything else does. And it was for, I think they started with the youth, and that's what ignited it. And then the older people came on, and then, you know, that they had a formula for that. And I don't like where they're headed or what they did in the meantime, but you see, when it turned to Meta, people don't want to do that. If you think about it, I mean, that's just the weirdest thing. The metaverse, they lost, what, $30 billion in stock value when they did that. So, and they haven't learned their lesson. They're going to go right ahead with it. And I don't know what's behind it, but it doesn't sound right to me. So people don't want that. They just want a platform for friends. They don't want this other stuff. So I think they're overstepping. They don't know what they want. They've got some kind of agenda. I'm not going to say it's evil, but you don't get any problems until you say ivermectin, probably on your Facebook posts or something. I have a lot of friends who have been knocked off Facebook, or they're censored heavily. So when they mention things that are against what CNN runs or whatever, the mainstream media. So I don't think you'll have a problem with that. And on your own platform, you do what you want. Like you said, you live by your own rules, and you have all that control over everything. You make the rules. They're not going to be crazy. You're not going to have fact checkers. But, I mean, that's your privilege, your right to do. And people will actually love to join that. People would do that. So I think you have a good thing going moving forward. And the website is beautiful, by the way.
Excuse me?
The website is fabulous.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, we're just in the early phases. We have the capability. We're going to offer classes, you know, on that site. That means, you know, whether we do agriculture, virtual agriculture classes, you know, we've got a new series that's going to be starting soon. It's called Prayer School. And those that, you know, are listening tonight, those who knew Dr. Lester Sumrall, you know, we're going to have his grandson on. We're going to talk about the kind of miracles that he and I both witnessed, you know, as a result of following Dr. Sumrall for all those years. And then, you know, I worked for Oral Roberts University, and I worked in the mail department. And I learned a whole lot about Dr. Oral Roberts because he was the real deal. You know, he would still write letters to his partners. And, you know, it's just having these experiences with these different men of God throughout the years. When I was working with Oral Roberts University, I was able to go to Kenneth Hagin's healing school every day and experience that anointing and that ministry. So I have been blessed over the years of being around some of the, you know, strongest men of faith, you know, and it made a difference in my life and is showing up now. But, you know, having our own media, it enables us to do those different various kind of programs without, you know, being interrupted and without being put in jail as such. And everybody right. knows what I'm talking about. But we just want people to go to the site, sign up, you know, follow the rules. If people don't follow the rules, they'll be banned. You know, I'm going to ban people that don't want to follow the rules. If they come on there with profanity, we're not looking for that, you know. And we're really not looking for big controversies. If people don't agree with what we're saying, you know, turn the channel. You know, don't come in there trying to invade our space and come up with their own concepts. Look, I'm a Christian. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, he died and raised the third day, and he's the author of our salvation. And, you know, I'm unapologetic about that. You know, I believe that, you know, boys are boys and girls are girls. There is no in-between. And they're pushing this transgender thing to the point where you see on television, they you know, women talking about women are their husbands and wives and so forth. I'm like, that is ludicrous. You know, there's only two sexes, male and female. And so, you know, we're going to be there, and with our conservative and family values, people are signing on and they feel confident. I mean, you know, we want to strengthen them in their moral values so that they don't have to, you know, feel insecure or violated. So that's who we are. That's who we've always been, and that's who we will continue to be.
I agree. There's a freedom of new platforms. Like, for example, go to Telegram. I always forget that name, and I feel like I'm free there. I feel like I can express myself, or you go to Rumble, and I have a lot of videos on Rumble from other people, hosts, and I feel like you can say what you want, and that's the problem with Facebook. I have to be very careful what I post, and controversy is the name of the game. For if you're conservative, if you believe that every boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, then Facebook has a problem with you if you express that. So I appreciate what you're doing.
You know, You know, the disciples, the Bible says the 70 returned again with joy because the devils were subject to them in the name of Jesus. And if we look at the book of Acts and if we look at the Gospels, you know, they went out and they, you know, they, Jesus said they called, he called them to, you know, be sheep in the midst of wolves. And we're in the last days. We have to have courage. We have to have boldness and we have to have wisdom and we need to tell the truth and we need to be in season and out of season. This is a time period where we shouldn't be running and fleeing from persecution. You know, actually persecution means that we have their undivided attention. And, you know, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And so, you know, we should expect when we share the truth, and we shouldn't force it on people like they're trying to force their values on us. But exactly. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to do it whether it's convenient or when it's inconvenient. And we should do it in love, but we should still tell the truth. Now, if we get persecuted for it, hey, you know, the Bible says not even a hair on our head will be damaged, that God would take care of us, the angels of the Lord. But so this is, I think that, Kevin, I think this is the greatest time of revival that we could ever experience because the light shines on in the darkness. You know, that's just a fact. And I want to be light. I want to encourage people to be light. I want to encourage people to speak out. I do want to challenge people that they should be willing to expose the truth, be light to the earth, but don't keep repeating it or they're going to end up promoting darkness. We can't just come on social media and regurgitate what Biden is doing and what other people are doing all the time. Why don't we come up with some answers? And that's what we've done with our food programs that we grow, that we don't want to just come on social media or come on the internet and tell all that's wrong. We want to produce food and provide what's right. Okay. So I really don't have time to sit and listen to, you know, everybody on the internet just keep repeating what's wrong and announcing what's wrong. Hey, there's an answer to everything, and I want to be the one that provides answers.
Awesome. So you reminded me of something when you talked about just a minute ago, and I had a Denise Nystrom was on. She's running for Lee County School Board, and the things that we talk about are actually happening in real life, unfortunately. And when I was in Naples back in April, I know that rhymes, they were talking about the pornography in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a real thing. Explicit art drawings and everything in the textbooks. Well, she had a post last week, and it said she went to the school board, and there's a bunch of parents there, and they talked for a number of hours, and the school board refused to address that issue in the textbooks. These things are slipping into I think that's the whole plan, the schools, the young kids. Just like I told you earlier, Facebook was for the young kids. This is how they're getting them, and they're going to college, and they all believe this stuff. So things like that. And the guy I talked to, one of the guys on the post, says, you need to do something about it. Everybody has to band together and figure out how we're going to do this. This is a parent's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility. It's not that it takes a village to raise a child. It's, we need to stop this kind of stuff. This is ridiculous. This is craziness when this is normal. We never see this in school unless you put out and buy a magazine or something. We'd never see this back when we grew up. Now it's part of the curriculum. And we don't know. And the best thing is the pandemic actually exposed all this when people were at home with their children doing their schoolwork. They saw this. That's the only good, that's the silver lining in this. So what's your opinion on this? How do we, what would be your approach on something like this? Or what are your thoughts?
I'm glad you asked that, because with our, you know, with our Shekinah Ranch programs, one of the things I aim to do is I aim to really support and promote homeschooling. Now, you know, I ran our own private school for 20 years, and I'm not opposed to starting up another private school. But what I want to see families step up to the table, because our society has created this dynamic of convenience. And I think this has been underway for years. I mean, the convenience to go to the box stores to get your groceries, even though the food is contaminated. So we have public schools, and it's convenient because parents end up saying, well, I've got to send my children to public schools,
right,
or to the traditional schools, because I have to go to work. See, it's based on convenience, and parents are going to have to change the paradigm that they have and say, realize, look, these systems are designed to destroy your children. And so we have to step up and say, if we start doing homeschooling, and I think the pandemic could be looked at as something that gave us the opportunity to see that it's possible, and they started online learning. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
It's just people have to stop being lazy and indifferent and abdicating their responsibility and say, hey, I am not going to let my children be taught this garbage, okay? So now here's a solution, and I've told parents this for years. You know, public schools, they get something like $15,000 per student, you know, from the government, okay? Well, if we start if people start pulling their children out of school, they're taking money out of their coffers. And if they take so much money out of their coffers, they're going to listen to what we have to say.
Absolutely.
But here's the deal, Kevin. People are lazy, and they would much rather say, I've heard people say this, well, we'll pray and cover our children with the blood of Jesus. I'm like, you're not going to cover your children from the blood of Jesus. You can't turn your children over to Babylon and think you're going to raise Christian children or children with values. So it comes down to responsibility, and that's what we're going to do, Kevin, on our site. We're going to gather people. We're going to give them insight and wisdom and technology so that they know what they can do and how they can do it. And it might mean they need to change, you know, their lifestyle.
You know what, Donovan, that was a fantastic answer. And I like what you said, because I've been saying this for a long time. This is why people are going to the private schools, their homeschools, or their co-ops. This is excellent. And this is what we have to do. And these are in really affluent neighborhoods, too. I mean, we're talking about really posh parts of Florida where they're doing this. This isn't anything, you know, just, it's better. I think the public schools, but they're like high class of the schools. I mean, it's everywhere. Everybody's doing it because that's the agenda. But, Donovan, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to take a phone call?
I'm more than willing.
Okay. We have a caller from Utah. Go ahead, caller.
Hey.
What's your name?
How you doing? Is this Kevin?
Yes, it is.
How are you doing? Enjoy you and your guest today. I think this is a fascinating conversation, because when you look at our history of where education came, it used to just come from the home and then a small schoolhouse in the community, to now, I mean, they've built over decades and decades a machine that, you know, at the same time they've taken civics out of our schools to teach children about this great nation and its founding principles and constitution and all of those great civic lessons, they've decided to fill them up with with how to make the, you know, the government to get bigger. The government needs to take care of you. Well, you've got, of course, you've got to have a preschool breakfast, and then you've got to have a during the middle of the school lunch, and you've got to have after school programs. And it's almost like they've just, you know, it's death from a thousand cuts, and each one's been, how can we help the parents? How can we help the parents? Well, there's a point at which in a community and in a city that parents could use help as a community. But now they've gone so far that, like exactly what your guest is saying, they've parents in some situations have just almost abdicated their responsibility to raise their children to the local government and to the school. And it's just fascinating conversation about where the pendulum has swung so far to let somebody else raise my children, and to where it should swing back to, you know, these are my children. These are God's gift to me. And what is appropriate for me to take care of, and what is appropriate for me to turn over to the purview of an educating group? You know what I mean? I really appreciate your comments, and I wonder what your thoughts are on some of that.
Well, we as Shekinah Ranch, we started our own programs as an extension of our private school. We no longer have the private school, but what we have is we have these alternative education programs. One of them is outdoor education. And so we bring so many children in, and the parents look for us because we're teaching them values. Now, granted, when these children come in from public school, some of them, I mean, one year we had three girls that they were beautiful girls, young girls, and they said they were lesbians. Okay, we didn't ostracize them, but all summer, when we had our program, we called them young ladies, and we taught them the value of being virtuous women. By the end of the summer, they said, you know what, I don't want to be a lesbian. But see, this is so common in our public schools, and they're promoting this. Our culture is promoting this. And so, you know, the children are influenced by this. But like I said, if people with family values and Christian values stand up and we speak about our values louder than, you know, the left is speaking about perversion, then we're going to win many, many, many people. You know, but you know, the conservatives seem like they think that, and I'm a conservative, don't misunderstand me. I love conservatives. I love conservatism. But people think that they're doing justice by continue to rehearse about the perversion that's taking place. No, the Bible says we overcome evil with good. So I think we need to just voice the good as much stronger than we voice the bad.
That's wonderful. You know, I think back to the first, I've seen some, I've not ever held any real ones, some of the original ones, but I've seen copies of what some of the first elementary school primer books used to be called. You know, I don't think we really call them primer books, but, you know, they were all based on Judeo-Christian principles, and they were based on, you know, this great nation and the Constitution. And, you know, you're right. I think, you know, it started with, well, you can't pray in school. Oh, no, that's wrong. When that was done for many, many decades, for a long time. And then, oh, you can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I think the country started to give pushback. And they said,
yeah,
well, of course we can.
I used to coach basketball. I'm 64 years old. And when I was 20 years old, I was coaching girls basketball at the school where I was alumni. And they told me, and we prayed. We prayed before every game. We prayed in the locker room. And they said, you can't pray anymore. Well, I went to the administration. I said, I'm going to pray. I said, what I will do, I said, I will ask any of my players, if they didn't want to pray, then they could step out. The parents loved me for it. Okay, so what we're looking, what we need today, we need strong leadership. We need people that are not going to be afraid of, you know, being criticized. Today, it's amazing that people are criticized and their feelings are hurt and they're offended. And I mean, but when we think about our history, I mean, these, you know, historically, you know, conservatives and people with family values, they stood up for those family values and they were willing to take whatever, you know, persecution or that they were going to face. And we stood up and we should stand up now. Who's afraid? I'm not afraid to stand up. You're not afraid to stand up. And we should gather people. And, you know, I train horses. One thing I've learned about training horses is that a horse is going to lean off of your courage or your fear, okay? So that's what I've learned that our culture is. I mean, if we come up and we stand with courage, I think we ought to be wise. I think we ought to be compassionate, but I think we ought to be courageous to stand for what we believe. And in order for evil to abound, all that's necessary is for good people to do nothing. I'm not willing to do that.
But you're a good example. You're a good example. I think there are some people that although they feel that wrong is wrong, they've got a paycheck and they've got a career and they're new in their career. And so people who've been entrenched in maybe some liberalism or some, you know, some leftist thought, and they've been in their career for 10 or 15 years, they can really browbeat you and they can intimidate you if you're new in your career. But you're absolutely right. People need to understand. And I think civics needs to be brought back, not only, you know, civics, but, you know, out here in Utah, I don't know how it is across the rest of the country, but in my faith, we have release time seminary class. It's religious instruction during the day. And when I was in school, it was about an hour a day. And quite often to get my credits in, I took an early morning seminary class. And it was religious instruction. It was terrific. It was a wonderful part of my day. I don't know. I think some people around the country in different parts, you know, maybe they have to get all of their some Sunday instruction. They get it just on Sunday, or maybe they just get it in their home. But I really valued that. I thought it was wonderful. And I know that it's, although that program is the seminary programs for my faith, they're obviously, you know, it's different, and school districts are different all over the place, but I think that's such a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing to have in your day at a time when students are dealing with such moral and social issues. And they're not just occasional now. You're right. They're absolutely being bombarded by friends, by entertainment. And if you don't teach your kids correct principles, and to be God-fearing and to love this country, the world will teach them its values, and it is not about loving your fellow man and trying to draw close to your God and to try and love your country and to extol its virtues and to learn the principles of this nation. So, I would love to see something like that where it would be offered all over. You know, again, mine is from my faith. I don't know how many other Christian denominations do it in their own communities or some states across the country. Out here in Utah, it's a wonderful thing. I was very blessed to be a part of my life. But really appreciate your comments and your call today. It's a wonderful, wonderful topic and a great guest, Mr. White.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Have a good night, sir.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Kevin,
bye.
What I want to do, I want to gather 1,000 people and say, okay, join our site. And then what we want to do, we want to create a sponsorship program where we can go out into this country and we can target young people and bring them to Shekinah Ranch at no charge. I mean, we you know, over a period of time, we will collect the money, raise the money so that we can bring young people who qualify to the ranch and let them stay there for 2 weeks, a month, and teach them values, and then go back in and help the parents understand, how do you stand against this evil day? There's answers now. There's answers. And it's just that people have to be willing and not afraid. Now, are they going to lose their jobs? This is what I say. You know, if I was working a job and they wouldn't let me have freedom of speech, I would start finding a new career. I'm not just right. going to be bound by that. You know, like I said, we have to be proactive and we have to be willing to stand up for what we believe and what our values are, irregardless of, you know, the kind of things that's taking place in our culture. You know, I will expose stuff, Kevin, but you're not going to hear me stand around and talk about the problem over and over again, because there's an answer. We created the answer when we saw the kind of chemicals and, you know, pesticides and hormones that they were putting in food. We said, as a church, instead of us buying big expensive cars and big expensive houses, we decided to invest our money in food production. And it's expensive because, I mean, we raise tilapia, we raise lamb, we raise cattle, you know, we raise quail, we raise chickens. This year we'll have 100 hens where we're producing a brown egg omega egg program where we sell eggs to our customers. But then we also provide free eggs for senior citizens, and we're working with churches. And so those senior citizens that don't have enough money to pay for food, we're supplying every month we supply 20 dozen of eggs to churches so that they can give to their senior citizens. Now, that's the answer.
Fantastic.
You know, I mean, there's answers, and I encourage people to use their energy, use their brains, and say, what is the answer? Let's be problem solvers. And I mean, we can change our culture.
Right, right. So people probably don't know this about your ranch, Shekinah Ranch. It's actually one of the spots that Mr. Trump, Citizen Trump, and his family targeted, and they've been to visit there. So this ranch is a big deal because this is where I'm going when the world comes to an end, if I don't have enough left in my garden. This is how many acres is that?
We have 150 acres, and we're believing God for the money to buy more acreage as well. So, you know, we farm
place.
Our woods. Excuse me?
It's a fantastic place. Very impressive.
But you know, there are places in the country where, you know, if they have a garden, they're committing a felony.
Right.
And
that's crazy.
And see, we're living in a time where we have to, you know, we just have to fight back. And I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about standing for our constitutional rights and standing together. You know, and I'm like, if everybody stood together, they can't put us all in jail. You know, I mean, it's just, what created the fear? So they hated Donald Trump so much that they promoted hate and promoted hate and promoted hate, and it created hate in our culture. And, you know,
right.
Churches have to deal with this. Churches could change the culture if they stood up instead of, you know, succumbing to the evil generation. Stand up for what God said is right. One simple thing, okay, that's what we teach our kids when they come in. You treat others the way you want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And
right.
they start learning. And you know what? They're going to take that back to their schools with them. Okay? So it starts someplace, but let's get started. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I got a question. Okay, I have another caller if you don't mind taking this call.
Sure. Let's do it.
Caller, I think I recognize your number. Would you like to talk to Donovan, Pastor Larkins?
Yeah. Hi. I'm actually Kevin's brother.
Hello, Kevin's brother.
But I was very intrigued by everything you were saying. Myself, I am for a school to go to learn about theology, Bible history, and stuff like that. And one of the things I've wanted to do also for a while is try to find a way to work with kids to try to help strengthen their moral character.
Yes.
Because I know there's a, I guess you could call it a deception, that people are thinking, people think that they're the opposite sex. I mean, see, also what people think that they're animals. And recently I saw a report about where they were allowing men who claim that they were women sleep with these girls in some type of sleepaway camp or something like that. And
wow,
the world has just become so corrupt. And I think that if we can reach the younger kids, we can, that's one thing that can help start to turn it around.
Hey, this is an uphill battle, but let me assure you, and this is what I believe. I believe that there are more people, there are more moral people than there are immoral people. But the moral people have turned into cowards. Okay,
yeah.
They're afraid, and they just need to, shake themselves and overcome fear and stand up again. Okay. Now, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Okay. Now, I'm not shocked by all of this. And there's reasons why I'm not shocked by all of this. The Bible says it's going to be even as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Okay.
Yeah.
And in Lot's day, when he lived in Sodom, homosexuality was just, it was almost like a religion. It was normal, okay? Now, if we don't stand up, it's going to be normal, and then what are you going to do about that? Now, let me tell you this. If somebody wants to be a homosexual, I say this. It's they're going to hell. They're going to go to hell. Now, they might get mad at me when I say that, but it's tough love. They're going to go to hell because that's against God's standards. Right?
Yes.
So God is not the author of confusion. And so I say that people that believe that way, they're confused. It's as deep of confusion that they can encounter for them to think that they can be a boy and they're a boy and they can turn into a girl. You're never going to change XY chromosomes. It's just never going to happen. I mean, you can have all kind of surgeries and all kind of things, but you still, if you're born a boy, you're a boy the rest of your life. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you think when I tell people that they get angry?
Oh, yeah.
Some do, and some ask for help. Now let's use, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble with this, but I've been in trouble before. Okay, so it's no big deal. So you take Rod Portman here in Ohio. He found out at first he was standing for family values, and then he found out that his son was a homosexual, and so he changed his values. Says he wants to support his son. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me, because if your son was a murderer, would you go and say, well, I've got to help you murder more people? Of course not.
Yeah, no.
If your son was a bank robber, you wouldn't give him a list of banks that he could rob with more ease and get away with it. And that's how ludicrous it is for people to be to have these problems with moral issues, and they just say, well, let's legislate it. It's just as crazy as Joe Biden saying that we're going to supply crack pipes to people who are addicted to crack.
Yes, exactly.
So, programs like this, like Kevin has, we need, and when you're having guests on, you should promote, so more and more people come on, and then we build a network. I don't want to just come on the shows. I want to come on shows with purpose, and I want to gather people so that we can then, whether we have classes, we have collaboratives, we have, everything that was necessary for us to grow these networks as large as we possibly can and reach out as far as we possibly can. And like I said, we're after changing our culture, right?
Yeah.
Now, will I get some persecution? Yes, I'll get some persecution. People call me, they're angry. I had somebody call me one time, and they said, well, we don't believe in casting out devils. Well, I do. And they said, well, you're telling lies. I said, well, look, I got to get off the phone. They said, why? I said, because the Bible says in my name they should cast out devils. You don't want to do it, so I got to do your work too. Goodbye. What has happened to people that they're so touchy and they're so offended and their feelings are so hurt? I'm not that way. I mean, and you can't be that way. We can't be that way and change our culture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and one thing I do have started doing in my life is if the Bible says it, then that's the truth.
Yeah. And I'm willing to give people the word, and if they accept it, the Bible says they that believe shall be saved, and they that believe not shall be damned. And I'm like, I didn't say it, but I am a delivery boy. And I'm like, you know what? If you don't accept the Bible, you're going to go to hell, So, hey, you choose. Hey, they said, choose this day who you will serve, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
That is correct. So thank you, Mark. I appreciate you calling in. And I'm going to put you back on hold. Thank you. All right, bro. For real, he's my bro. For real. We have one more caller to get through, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Caller, go ahead. You're calling from, where are you calling from? Michigan.
Oh, hey, I didn't know I was on. Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm calling out of Michigan. I'm not, I got to get caught up on the program.
Donovan Pastor Larkin is actually making he's got a new platform besides Facebook for conservative values. He also owns a ranch, Shekinah Farm, where he does, he trains young kids and everything. So we're talking about the sexes, you're a boy, you're a girl, if you're a girl, you're a boy kind of thing. And I know that's right, reality. It's actually, this is my guest for next week. I wanted to call in to meet you because he's got really excellent insights on things. So if you have any questions or you want have any comments about those kind of things, Donovan has fantastic answers. His answers are not standard, but I like how deep he is about these subjects and how we should make things more positive. If you have anything to say, go right ahead, caller.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about conversations like this, I don't even think we should be talking about, because it should just be standard that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. There shouldn't be any variance from that. I don't quite understand what it is they're trying to push as far. I have biblical values. I have conservative values. And when I see critical race theory and all that kind of stuff is trying to be taught.
Yeah.
And I see little boys running around and their mothers calling them little girls. You know, it's heartbreaking to see that because that's the direction our country's being led. My insight on that stuff is more biblical than anything. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and I think that he's the savior for the world. If every drug addicted person could meet him and spark a relationship with him, we wouldn't have as many drug addicted people. I understand there's some people who just can't get out of it. I understand that. You know, I think it's an identity complex to begin with, but, you know, it's a very touchy subject to some people. You're never going to change anybody out of hate. You're never going to change anybody, and this is my opinion, but you're never going to change anybody out of trying to cram something down their throat. The only way that you can change people is through love. And a lot of that, you know, it's hard to harness. You really got to pray about it and hope that you can do the best with the tools that you got when you're speaking to the appropriate people. You know what I mean?
What do you think, Donovan?
Well, I still say the Bible says overcome evil with good. You know, and I'm not going to talk about same-sex relationships. I'm not going to talk much about transgender. I'm going to talk about masculinity. I'm going to talk about what it means to be a responsible man. You know, it's you know, I think some people's minds are always going to be geared to focusing on what's wrong. But if we spend more time, and that's what we do at the ranch, we have our agriculture programs, and when we separate, I have female counselors, and they work with these girls, and they show them what femininity is, and they show them what it means, what womanhood is. They show them what virtue is. And I'm taking the boys, and I have other males, and we take the boys, and we show them how to be strong men. So, you know, why would I bring them in and talk to them about what they're hearing about in school? So they say, wait a minute, I've got a young boy right now. He's been with me. This will make his fourth summer. Their parents want them to come back, okay? We have a summer work employment program, and we teach them life learning and life skills as well as, you know, work ethics. And this kid came in when he was a freshman in high school, and all he would do is hum all the time, put his hands in his pockets, and he would watch everybody else work. That wasn't acceptable. So we would take him aside, and we would help him understand, you know, one day you're going to be a man. And one day you're going to have to be responsible for your family. You got to take care of your family. And throughout the years we've taught him, he's one of our finest workers. And I talked to him too. I talked to him straight. I said, "You don't like boys, do you?" "No, I don't like boys." "Do you have a girlfriend?" "No, that's not smart that you have a girl. Don't have a girlfriend yet. But one day, do you want a girlfriend?" "Yes." "Say, I want to get married." I said, "That's good. Don't marry a boy. You know, that would be goofed up." And so we teach them. and you know, if we're teaching our young people what's right, instead of regurgitating what's wrong, then we can, you know, it's just like your own children. My children, I mean, you know, my children aren't homosexuals and lesbians, but they were taught what's right and what God created us for. So I'm going to continue to reiterate that. Let's overcome evil with good.
Absolutely.
Sounds good to me.
But if we learn to work together, and one thing conservatives don't do, they don't work together. You know, somebody's trying to see who can be the first and who can be the best, who can be the greatest. But there's one thing we have to say, and we have to give them credit. Liberals, they'll work together even if they're wrong. And we have to overcome that. Look at how they stole the election. People don't want to say the election was stolen, but they worked together. They didn't have to agree with each other. They didn't have to believe the same that each other, but they worked together. And then look at what's going on in this country. It hasn't been even 2 years, and our economy has crashed. It's just a mess because they work together. Well, why don't we work together?
Absolutely. And Rebel, I want you check out his page. Our guest caller is an influential guy, and he's hopefully you can join in. You can listen to us next week, this program, and very wise. He's actually... You could probably use him a little bit. He's got a very sharp legal mind. he's won in court like 11 times. He won every case, so he's studied the law a lot. So I get the best guests in the world here, and I love having you guys. I'm learning from everybody who's on here. So I'm going to give you guys contact numbers later.
Yeah,
so
I look forward to meeting
guys.
With you and talk with you. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I'd be interested in it. I mean,
okay,
like you said,
yeah,
working
okay.
together is the key.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you guys think alike, and I appreciate it. And like I said earlier, you probably didn't hear me. Donovan is actually, his ranch is sanctioned by the Trump administration, the Trump family. This is before he became President Trump. So they've been there. It's a sustainment ranch, and I see pictures on Facebook of him at the White House. But, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, what I want to do, I want to help churches and individuals start their own food production, all this sustainability programs, and I want to help them start homesteads because I'm telling you, if we become more self-reliant and self-sufficient, and provide resources for other people. I mean, it changes their thinking. It changes their thinking real big time. And we can do it. You know, I believe if we create the network, we can start 100 or more food production programs a quarter. You know, it's what I do blindfolded. And now we're producing 15 different food products packaged professionally, and we're moving them. So I mean, then it's a way for people to generate a income or an economy for themselves.
Exactly.
Especially at this time of shortages and everything, this is perfect. Self-sustainment is the future.
Hey, microgreens have got a good outlook.
Yeah, we do microgreens. Yeah. Actually, we're getting ready to start our own apothecary now. You know, and, you know, I firmly believe, well, you know, I've been taking ivermectin since the pandemic started.
Right.
But I believe that God provided every herb for us to target organ health and be healthier instead of eating this garbage that's killing us.
Well, yeah. Let me give you a little story about myself on that particular item you just mentioned there. The good Lord puts out a lot of different good vitamins naturally. When you can go to something like olive leaves or ginger or garlic, and you can take that and it lowers your blood pressure. Because, see, I used to have high blood pressure. I don't have it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I refused to deal with, call it modern medicine for that particular, you know, if I broke my arm, I'd go see a doctor. Don't get me wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
something like blood pressure or cancer, diabetes, I'm going to take care of that myself. I'm going to take their, you know, advice and all of that. But I have studied so many different areas of that, you know, I know their bottom line. It's either going to be chemo or radiation or both are in operation. That's it. There's nothing else they got. And it hasn't changed in over 80 years. So I don't really need that. You know, I know what I need. I can get a particular herb to go after a particular cancer. And these are the things that I've studied. So if it comes down to that, I'll diagnose and I'll, you know, cure my own kind of stuff because I've done it in the past and it works. And you're exactly right. These herbs that God has brought out, we don't need medicine the way it is now. The Rockefellers changed that. I don't know if you know the history of this, the history of pharmaceuticals and how they went and they actually took all homeopathic medicines out of any doctor's office. And then they started giving them a license to do something, and then they controlled that license, and then they, you know, pushed them into the pharmaceutical industry. And that's all synthetics. And not that some are not, but I mean, I do believe in general that we should be more towards the natural things in life, like olive leaf extracts and stuff of that nature, or, you know, hemp oils or something of that nature for particular problems, for arthritis or whatever, you know. But I have seen my mother, my father, my blood pressure used to be over 200 diastolic and 86 on the other side. So it's down to 127 and 72 right now. So
I have done a miraculous. Congratulations.
Yeah, I have done, you know, God has done a miraculous thing. But, you know, I'm led by that Holy Spirit. I'm led by that to try and figure these things out. It's not like I just go after it and none of that credit is mine. None of it. Like these cases in court, you know, I found some information out. It was like given to me. I almost felt like the computer just threw it at me. I'm led to these things by the Holy Spirit. It's just, it's kind of strange to me, you know, to say, but I mean, when you go looking for certain things and you find them and they're the answer and you pray about it, what else can it be? I mean,
God is a miracle worker. He's always been and he will always be, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you have theologians that say miracles have passed away, it's because they don't know God, you know. Now, in May 6th of last year, I had open heart surgery. Now, listen to this. I had no symptoms. I'm a logger. I cut wood. I train horses. I'm an outdoorsman. And the only thing I had some minor heartburn, and I would take Pepto-Bismol, and it would go away. And I'm like, this is not. So God kept dealing with me about getting my heart checked. I put it off, and the Lord began to accelerate the intensity of him talking to me, get your heart checked. So I went and got my heart checked. Long story short, they found three main arteries that were 100% blocked. And, you know, I'm like, what? Is that for real? And you know what happened? The one of the miraculous things about this, my heart had grown its own bypasses.
It will do that. Yes, sir.
It's called collateral arteries, right? And so so now I'm where I'm at now. I'm back to work. I'm back, you know, I'm about 85%. And my doctor, my cardiovascular doctor, he wants to put me on statin. And I said, I'm not taking statins. I took statins before. Statin make me feel horrible. I'm not taking statins. So he said, why don't we put you on this shot where you take a shot twice a month? I said, I'm not going to do it. So I dumped the medical doctors and I went to a holistic doctor. And I've been with this holistic doctor now for 4 years. And so I had him check into this shot, and he said, well, the side effects will hurt you. I mean, you're going to get, you know, bronchitis every other month and all this. I said, I'm not taking it. You know what happened? The nurse for my heart doctor has called me 15 times and left a message on my phone making it sound like if I don't get this shot, I'm going to have a heart attack or a stroke. Now, the problem with this is they wanted me to get this shot without even taking any labs. So I went to my holistic doctor. I said, I want you to sign me up for labs. I want to check my LDL cholesterol. I want to check, since I had surgery, my LDL is perfect. Why would they want to give me a shot or move me into statins without taking lab work to prove the fact that I had a problem?
You know, the only thing I can say is the medical industry is made up of a bunch of money. I had a relative that went to get a COVID vaccination back when, it first came out. Or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't the vaccination. She went to get a COVID test to be tested for COVID. And she sat in her car and didn't go in. She sat in the parking lot because they couldn't go in. And, because of the mask thing, only two people in at a time or whatever. So they called your car and you went in that way. Well, she sat there so long, she said, no, I'm just going home. Forget about it. She went home. And then the next morning, the doctor's office called her and said, I'm sorry to inform you, but you tested positive for COVID. She never went into the doctor's office.
Right.
So, I don't know why they do this. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of. It's supposed to be a trusted industry, but I could not, I cannot trust them no more than I can.
Well, they're prohibiting and eliminating people's right to take, naturopathic solutions to this. Look, I was getting my doctor, my holistic doctor, was giving me a prescription for ivermectin for a year and a half. And then, I would go to Walmart Pharmacy and get my meds, right? Finally, they started saying, we're not going to supply you with ivermectin. We will not fill that prescription. So, I'm still getting ivermectin, but I get it from a private pharmacy. But what was alarming to me is that they're preventing people from getting they're prohibiting people and preventing people from getting treatments that work.
Right. It's really anything out of their protocol area.
Right. So I had this conversation with my doctor. I said, I'm taking ivermectin. Because he said, what are you going to get the vaccine? I said, no, I'm not getting the vaccine. You can't make me put something in my body, okay? And so he said, well, you ought to get the vaccine. I said, I'm taking ivermectin. He made a face, right? Now, he's a great cardiologist. He made a face. I said, why are you making a face? See, I don't just ignore stuff. Why are you making a face? I said, why are you making a face? He said, well, that hasn't been proven. I said, well, the vaccine hadn't been proven. See, if you challenge people's thinking instead of just, surrendering to their ideologies, now we're standing up for our rights and our privileges,
That's right.
I refused when my children were growing up, I refused to send them to public school, and I paid for them to go to private school.
That's good.
And so it's just, you have to make a choice,
Right.
And, we teach people critical thinking and problem solving, and then because a lot of people, they don't have the faith or they haven't been taught on how to make quality decisions. So I think if we turn around, instead of keep rehearsing what's bad and what they're doing bad and teach people how to make right decisions, I think we're going to help our culture and help people better.
Well, thank you. Caller, I appreciate you calling in. We have to continue with the show. I appreciate it. And I'll see you next week, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Pastor Donovan Larkins, you have anything you want to say? We actually have, if you want, you can end the show now. We have 45 minutes. left on the clock. I made it a little longer than normal because I know you generate a lot of callers and guests and things like that. So
I want to encourage people to go to our site. They can go to opvmag.com and sign up, or they can go to our Facebook group called Our Point of View. And, you know, they can sign into, you know, Donovan Larkins. And we want to connect. We want to gather people. We want to identify people that want to grow food and want to learn how to grow food, want to learn how to grow food without chemicals and without weeds. We want to help people if they want to start growing food so that they can establish a market and, you know, do it as a business or doing it as an LLC. Then we want to really get people involved with the Protecting Innocence campaign, where we're training parents how to protect their children from child molesters. Number one, child molesters are real. I have a mini book that they can get called Protecting Your Children through the process of accountability. That's something that we're really pushing. We're getting about ready to enter into our second print. Books are going out there and people are learning how to protect their children, and they're willing to stand up and be proactive. You know, there are three things that child molesters don't want people to know. They don't want to know that they really exist. And in this book, it tells the other principles that so they can know in advance and be proactive so that child molesters has no access to their children. It might be in their families. Child molesters might be in their families. You know, when you have holidays, don't just relax and let down, you know, your guard, because child molesters, they're evil, they're corrupt, and they're possessed with appetites for little children. So the Protecting Innocence campaign, and then our food campaign, and then we're teaching people about how to pray. You know, I think people need to learn the principles of prayer so their prayers are effective. We don't want people to just think that because they pray, now lay me down to sleep, or pray the Lord my soul to keep kind of prayers. We want them to learn the laws of the Spirit outlined in the Bible so that they know that God wants you to win all the time, not part of the time, all the time.
All the time, yes. So everybody, that's opvmag.com. And just, I mean, he's talking about homesteading, and homesteading is going to be a thing in the future, I believe, but you have to go to the ranch if you live in the Dayton area or if you live not that far away, and you have to go there and see what they have. The facility is fabulous. They have a smoke. I can't wait to eat some of your smoked meat from there. It looks fabulous, and this place is developing a lot every day. So, yeah, tell us about that program.
Well, you know, food is something that we all have to eat. And if you eat healthy food, you know, we can be healthier. But, yeah, we have built our own smokehouse, and the smoked meat is phenomenal. And it just doesn't have to be people in the Dayton area. We do ship food around the country. People, you know, it, say for instance, our maple syrup program, we're getting ready to produce a movie about our maple syrup program. It's called Maple Syrup, the Movie, How We Do It. Okay. So we'll be able to ship maple syrup, you know, nationwide. Now, shipping costs have gone up so much. So what we will do, if somebody, say somebody from Colorado wants to buy syrup, then what we'll do is we'll get them to recruit a number of their friends, and then they can split the shipping. So there are always an answer and ways to, you know, get around the problems that we're facing. We just have to be determined enough and creative enough to do it.
Absolutely. And yeah, by the way, your syrup is fabulous. It's fantastic. It's got real flavor. It's not like what you buy in the store, and it's all natural. I love it.
And thank you, Kevin. And we're getting amazing reviews over that syrup.
I bet, yeah. It's real stuff. It's like, I haven't had real syrup for so long, I didn't know what it tastes like. It's supposed to taste like. So,
We've collected about 120 gallons. We just started tapping, and I'm going to wait till we have about 200 or 300 gallons for us to start cooking.
Okay.
And then yeah. it's going to be it's going to be on, my brother.
Right. So how can they order that? Do you have a place you can order, or is it a call in, or they can go to your page, or how do people order the food? Because I'll tell you, this food is fantastic. We raved over it last year and this year, and every time I go there, and everything we have a sit down dinner with other guests, and it was fantastic. It was like you're at a fancy restaurant. Everything was artistically put together, quality ingredients, and it was quite an experience. You could open up a restaurant if you wanted to.
Well, here's the deal. We want people to call us because we want to talk to people and we want to get to know them. But like I said, they can sign on to our Facebook page, Facebook group. We have several groups, but the one that I'm really promoting now is for them to sign on to our Point of View Facebook group. Okay.
Okay.
Or they
yes.
can go to opvmag.com and sign on. And we are an interactive group. We will be talking with you. We will be communicating with you. And we will be providing notifications of upcoming events and trainings. You know, these are all going to be live video trainings. We use the platform of StreamYard, and that's all going to flow through our Facebook, sometimes LinkedIn, the different groups that we will sign up. But we want people to sign up, call us, if they have a problem contacting us, they can contact you because you got our information.
Yes, I do. So anybody that doesn't have Donovan's information, let me know, because I'm a firm believer in what he does, his ministry, his ranch, what they're doing with the youth, and as a community leader, and the food, of course, So let me know when you get that smoker going. I'm going to come down there and buy some.
Right now we're putting together a food list of the items that we have available. But I'm really excited about an upcoming event that we're going to have online. It's called Prayer School. And we're going to be teaching the principles of prayer that make prayer effective. And I've been seeing miracles and miracles and miracles. When I worked for Oral Roberts University, the people that supported Oral Roberts building the prayer tower in the City of Faith, they were given a key to his prayer room. Well, when I worked for Oral Roberts University, I spent time in his prayer room, and I had some real encounters with God. But what we're going to do is we're going to bring other men and women of God on, and we're going to talk about the principles of prayer. You know, I believe this, and I've experienced it in my, 44 years of Christian ministry. God does not give us promises in the Word of God for him to break them. He's not a man that he should lie. And anytime
right.
God makes a promise to us, he plans to keep it. Now, people have to pay the price. Sometimes it takes a season of prayer to break through the things the devil is trying to destroy us. But the Bible clearly says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe people need to be taught and trained about the principles of faith and the laws of the Spirit so that we start winning. And I believe in winning. There's nothing therapeutic about losing. There's everything therapeutic about winning. And I've got a new book that's coming out. It's called The Heart of a Champion. People, sign up for our site. We'll keep you posted on notifications of when we have events, the products that we have available for sale, and all the other great things that we're doing. And I'm telling you, we have garden dinners, Kevin, in the summer, and people can come from all over the country, come spend time with us, enjoy the dinners, come to church. They'll leave refreshed.
Wow, absolutely. So I like that, the heart of a champion, because if people don't know, you were a basketball phenom in high school and then in college. So I see where you get that from. And you know, you like winning, and you do. You do win. So I appreciate you being on the show tonight. So if anybody wants to reach Donovan Sykes, it's opvmag.com. There's a lot of really good things going on there, and I can't stress that enough. And this is great for the community, for the city. And, I mean, he deals with politicians in town and local and state politicians and the Trump Organization. So he's very well connected, and I support him 100%. So, Donovan, you're doing an excellent job. I appreciate you being on again, and we want to push this as much as we can outside of this show, of course, and get as many subscribers as we can, because everything's going to an awesome cause, and we're helping the children, and we're teaching the children the right things to do and their identities, and but kind of trying to undo been done to them, and there's nothing greater than that. So
yeah, I look forward to being on again. If people are interested in starting to grow their own food and they want to do it in a sustainable way, contact us. We do supply consulting, and it's not that expensive that they can't afford it. In fact, I tell people, I've got a young guy now that he's wanting to start. He's got like 6 acres. And I said, well, you know what? By hiring us, you can save yourself 20 years of making mistakes. We do it blindfolded. You know, I used to be under contract with a special program with USDA. I used to work with Ohio State. I mean, we know what we're doing, and we do it well.
Yeah.
So we want to help people
get
off to a good start so that they're not wasting their money and growing discouraged.
That's an excellent point. And that means a lot, because I wouldn't know how to do this myself. I would gladly make the shortcuts with you and your processes. I've seen your ranch in person, and I can testify it's awesome. It's going on, and it's huge. So thanks.
People,
I appreciate you coming on tonight. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. People say they don't like tilapia, but we've got about 15,000 pounds of tilapia in our system. We grow them indoors. And I'm telling you, it is great food. People say that tilapia are bottom feeders. That's impossible to feeders. Their main product in the wild is, you know, zooplankton. And so, yeah, I think people need to take a step back and say, hey, let me learn. And then in doing so, they can win. And I'm going to talk, every time I come on your show, I'm going to talk about winning, because God wants us to be winners.
I love your positive
attitude.
Thanks
a lot for having me, Kevin.
You're welcome. And I'll talk to you later, and I'm going to get you the connections with some of the other people. And we're going to make this go. So everybody has a heart of a winner. We need to be winners. Thank you, Donovan.
Thank you. God bless.
So that was Donovan Larkins, Pastor Donovan Larkins from Dayton, Ohio. He's got a big, giant ranch on the outskirts of town. Beautiful place with a big home building and everything, and pictures with him and famous people. But that's not the point. The point is, this is a great thing. This organization helps out kids, helps out people that need help, that need identity, straightening out and everything, and that's what it's all about. So next week, we're going to have Rebel on. This guy is a genius with the law, and he's learned a lot on his own, and we're going to find out what's going to happen next week. This show is going to live over a little bit longer than normal, because I knew we'd have callers. I knew we'd have a lot of people saying things, a lot of conversations. But join us again. Join us tomorrow for James Bostic's show, Conservative Perspective. proud of his work. I'm trying to be like him here and there. So, and then Mark Hoffman, shortly after that, live. Patriot Nation Live is a show. It's hilarious to listen to and to watch. And I'll be working the boards in the background, as they say. And I appreciate everybody listening to the show. Hope you learn a lot. That's the whole goal of my program. Learn everything you can from it. Because I have guests on that really, really teach me. And I've learned so many things over the last few months. And I appreciate it. My guests, all my guests. And, you know, you don't have to be special to be a guest. I have regular people that I know that they have something to contribute. It's something to talk about. And I'm getting some more people running for office. That's what I love the most. It is fascinating lives that they lead and why they do it. And they're taking that next step. And I think that's very commendable. And I appreciate them as well. So everybody have a good night. And hump day, two more days of work. Yes. We can get out of school. Okay, thanks. See you later. Have a good night.